Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Beam me up on the mamas of all mama shit.
Hey, I'm looking through my telescope and I see a mothership. Is that you? Beam me up.
Hey, DA, I'm thirsty, man. Can you beam me up for a cold one?
Hey, DA, what's going on, baby? Stop me off and beam me up.
DA, what's the dealio? Permission to get in that mothership.
Is my window seat still available? Beam me up.
What's going on, DA? Hey, man, I need you to do me a huge favor. My coworker's a jerk. Oh, just beam me up, man.
Get beamed up. Everyone else has. It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
And we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can. We appreciate you being with us at a fine Monday morning, everybody. We are back and at it for the week, and by the end of the week, we'll have actual regular season baseball games to be played. We saw baseball played over the weekend, exhibition form, teams against teams, not inter-squad scrimmages, so that's pretty cool. So we're talking about that this morning, that by and large, games without fans in attendance looked and felt okay. They were, quote, fine. In my estimation, they were fine. You'd love to see fans in attendance, but short of that, having players play in real games, some cutouts behind home plate, some cutouts out in the outfield, some piped in crowd noise, it was fine. It was just good to have competitive baseball back. So we're talking about that this morning. And then also on the NFL, a number of very notable, popular players are very upset at the NFL and its murkiness in terms of safety and security measures for the return of football. You had a number of NFL players take to Twitter over the weekend and blitz the league office and the owners for not having hard, structured safety guidelines for the return of football. Amongst others, Myles Garrett, Jarvis Landry, Todd Gurley, and one of the most popular players in the NFL, Drew Brees. Brees' controversial moment about kneeling for the national anthem a couple of months ago notwithstanding, here is what Brees tweeted, and he is a guy that is highly respected in the NFL and obviously has always been a league guy, a company guy. He's done things the, quote, right way. He has never been a renegade. He's never been a rogue. He's never been a problematic guy. I mean, Drew Brees is as straight-laced as they come. And he tweeted, "We need football. We need sports. We need hope. The NFL's unwillingness to follow the recommendations of their own medical experts will prevent that. If the NFL doesn't do their part to keep players healthy, there is no football in 2020. It's that simple. Get it done at NFL." So those are pretty strong words from Drew Brees. I mean, Todd Gurley, Myles Garrett, Jarvis Landry, good players, but not 40-year-old future Hall of Famers who have won a Super Bowl and have always been company guys. I mean, Drew Brees is the ultimate league company guy, and in this way, he's publicly scolding the NFL and challenging the NFL to get it done or we don't play football. And this is really interesting. It's interesting because very obviously, if all of these players are tweeting about this over the weekend, and Drew Brees is one of those guys, that you have high levels of concern from the Players Association, from the union, that the NFL right now doesn't have clear protocol in place and that they're worried about that very clearly. And if you notice, there's some common themes amongst all the tweets. They all had proper punctuation. They all had proper capitalization. They do not look like Mraz tweets. They all have the same hashtag, we want to play, and they all often have the same terminology. It's that simple. No football if you don't do that. Which tells me the NFLPA put out an email to all of their union members, maybe all of the agents, got to the members, the union members, and they said, here are phrases, cut and paste, use these in your tweet. This is what we're fighting for. And I think they probably realized that over the course of pandemic, players' voices on Twitter, if unified, can get jobs done, can get work done, can get things changed. And so I think that's what they're trying to do here. And look, I don't blame the players for wanting strict safety measures. Not at all. I think we could all agree, any of us that are at work or are going to go back to work, quote, as normal, want to make sure our employers are doing right by us. That's totally understandable. And for these athletes whose bodies are worth millions of dollars, it's even more different than us. Their investments in their bodies, that's how they have a career, their health. If you're not healthy, you can't make money. Not in football, not in baseball, not as a professional athlete. So how acute they are to staying safe, I can understand being more acute than a lot of us. Totally get it. But my sense also is the NFL dragged its feet on this because they probably didn't think it was going to still be this bad by this time. And they blew it. And that much is clear right now. It is mid-July. The NFL should not have its players worried about attending and reporting to camp in a couple of weeks. Should not be a dynamic in play. Football was the one league that had the benefit of time. A lot of it. This happens in March. Everything shuts down in March. Sports shuts down in March. Baseball's in spring training. The NBA and NHL are ratcheting up for its postseasons. MLS had started its season. NASCAR had started its season. The PGA Tour had started its season. The only league, the only sport that did not have to scramble in real time was football. This was March. 4 months later, the players are worried that there is not enough detail or structure to the game plan to return. That's football's fault. Football had a chance, unlike the other teams and the other leagues, the other commissioners, to have a four-month head start. What's this going to look like? And what's worst-case scenario? And I don't think they planned for worst-case scenario, which is 4 months later, cases spiking. 4 months later, nobody else has many answers. I think the NFL probably figured, this is my guess, in March and in April, when all these other leagues were figuring out, okay, bubble, what do? Do we play at home ballparks? Are we isolated? How many teams do we invite back? Is it all of the teams, some of the teams? I think the NFL figured, hey, we'll see how this shakes out. By August and September, trends are going to be going down. We'll have been out of the summer, out of the spring, and we'll have watched the other leagues do this. And we'll figure it out then. And I don't think they figured it to be increasing. And I don't think they figured other leagues to be going, oh God, is this going to work? How do we do this? What do we do here? And so the NFL really did blow it. And it's not over, obviously. We're still in July. So what you could easily do if you're the NFL is take the player's plan, which is no games of the preseason. You work out only with your teams, and you're working on conditioning and timing, and you're not working on physicality, hard practices, padded practices, or certainly not games against teams. You know, you can limit padded practices if you have them at all and just do conditioning. Now, is that going to lead to bad football come September 10th? Yeah. Yes. Rusty, clunky football. Yes. But that's the solution here. And I think the NFL needs to be willing to do this. I think you should scrap the preseason. I talked about this weeks ago. I don't think there's any need for games in the preseason. I think you're just talking about the game that you're going to play, which is ultimately going to be the most risk that the players take. Make sure those games count. Because if you get a 12-game schedule at a 16 played, okay, hopefully there's a postseason. But you just want to make sure that you're not playing two games of the preseason that don't matter, that could have been two games that counted in the regular season if you're only going to get a finite amount of games. So the NFL blew it. They should have had this all tied up, sewed up. They don't. But there's still time to fix this because it's still only July. And the NFL has been full steam ahead. We're going to play football. We're going to have this schedule. We don't have any plans not to do it. The only thing that they've changed is they've limited no preseason game number one and no preseason game number four. But I do believe we'll have football being played. I just think right now you got to pivot away from trying to play your preseason games. And I would say, Mraz, also that these are effective campaigns run by players when you have collective voices and guys like Drew Brees saying, you've got to fix this or there's not going to be football. That's the type of saber-rattling that usually will get something done because the NFL desperately wants football to be played.
I agree with that. I do think it's effective, but there is another part of my shoulder going, I just saw MLB players doing this. I don't want to hear a fight publicly because ultimately, I know, you know, we all know, they're going to get this done. There's too much money at stake involved. These TV contracts, especially for the NFL, are ginormous, that there is no way that the NFL is not going to get this done. Now, you could say, well, unless they feel pressured, they're just going to go about their business, and now they feel pressure, so maybe you do need that. So I kind of go both ways on it, but it does rub me a little bit of the wrong way. And just from the preseason aspect, I don't know why the NFL would put up a fight on this anyway. I mean, maybe the preseason national TV numbers are that high rated, but ultimately, the risk-reward here, there's other inventory for us as fans. I can't believe I'm even saying that in August. We're going to have the NBA. We're going to have the NHL. We have Major League Baseball games. We have a more packed August than we normally would, that we're not just watching baseball and we're tired of it, so we need to watch the Texans play the Cowboys on ESPN on a Thursday night. So, to me, the NFL, we're good. Come back in September. You don't need to put up this big fight about preseason games. As you said, work on timing. Have those teams together. Heck, you could even have, kind of like Major League Baseball did, some regionalized scrimmages. I mean, the Giants could play the Jets. The Raiders could play the Cardinals or something like that. But it doesn't have to be this televised big preseason game. If you just want to get other teams involved, maybe in the third week of preseason or whatever that would be. But we're good. This doesn't need to be a fight. The NFL needs to put up with the preseason. Figure out your revenue situation. Get the players what they need. Hopefully give them this honeycomb face mask. And let's everybody be happy. The last thing I want to see as a fan is another public war between players tweeting, owners chirping, and going through what we did with Major League Baseball. Learn from that baseball mistake. Baseball's lucky we were so, you know, tickling for it this weekend because they could have lost a lot of people. Football shouldn't go down that road.
Yeah. It's something nobody wants to hear. Labor negotiations during pandemic. It turned a lot of people off. And, you know, even though a lot of people were happy that baseball was back, it did put a significant dent in PR for baseball. And for the NFL, they would, no matter how much they fight over money, we're always going to be there to watch football. But it is something right now that feels very tone deaf to be doing things like that when so many people are out of work. So I agree with you. Now, I do think that the NFL players don't want probably inter-squad scrimmages as well. I think they probably don't want to be tackling or being tackled by other teams right now. I think they probably want some space and just want to do conditioning and work out themselves and not have to go through games yet. So they probably would push back against that. My only guess on why owners are sticking to the preseason, I think the coaches definitely want it, because the coaches know it's going to be really hard to field a team and do your depth chart if you don't actually have a game to base that off of. So then the coaches are worried about timing and scheme and depth chart and, you know, just scouting. And I guess the NFL owners are going, well, we might not have fans in attendance for this entire season. If we do, it's going to be limited attendance more than likely. To make up for parking and attendance and game day sales, et cetera, luxury suites, we got to try to get money wherever we can. And so holding two preseason games that we can televise on your local networks is going to be at least part of our revenue stream. But from a competitive standpoint, it is so unnecessary. Yeah. It is such an unnecessary risk to take, because what happens if you play a preseason game and there is an outbreak and that there's a player on the Rams that has it and they play the 49ers, then both teams have it, and now suddenly you've handicapped both teams. You know, you'd be like, why did we do this over a preseason game? If it's going to happen, at least do it for a game that matters.
Yeah, and look, if you're worried about that lost revenue, and here's an idea. You're still filming Hard Knocks, supposedly, with the Chargers and Rams. HBO has those rights, NFL Films, I understand. Let HBO show it first. That usually airs on a Wednesday night or something like that. And rotate for the 5 episodes of Hard Knocks. Give each network one night where it's Friday or Saturday night. It's already been shown on HBO. And let them show that episode instead of a game. Football fans will be, it'll just be like when we tried to watch The Last Dance. If you're that into football and you're not an HBO subscriber, that gives you something to do. That gives more eyeballs. It gives more NFL Films revenue. Get creative. If you don't want to have the other teams, you have your inner squad scrimmages, because I'm sure you're going to have to do something like that. Treat it like a college football spring game. Throw it on these local TV networks and all those markets as well, whether that's the third week of preseason, you know, red versus blue, whatever, something like that. There's ways, and those people who would be dying to watch meaningless preseason games will still watch those things, and you will still get those numbers if that's what you're worried about for lost revenue. There's other creative ways to do this than stick your feet in the mud and absolutely fight for preseason.
I think those spring-type games, I think those inter-squad scrimmages, I think would be, that'd be a win. I think that absolutely would be something that people would watch. And NFL version of spring football, you could sell it like that. And it's a much better solution than trying to play preseason games in the middle of all of this. But the NFL still has time to figure this thing out. Luckily, it's only July, and we don't have to play real football games until early September. So it's certainly not, you know, this is the end-all, be-all. They got to get it done. Like baseball, the clock was ticking. If they waited any longer, there was not going to be enough time to play any baseball. Football's got the benefit of at least a few weeks to figure this thing out. When we come back, we are stunned to a news. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Grab a surge protector. You're about to be zapped.
Morning, DA. Let me get that beam up, brother.
All right.
You, sir, are notorious for spitting hot fire, and once again, here we are, melting.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
It's a Melt Monday here on the DA Show. Our toll-free line is 855-212-4227, sponsored by GEICO. Did you know that right now GEICO is offering an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies? That's on top of what GEICO could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Visit GEICO.com to learn more. And the DA Show is also available in podcast form. So simply go to your favorite podcast platform and search the DA Show. And there you can get full episodes or the best of every single day. Listen to the DA Show on demand in podcast form. And when you do, rate and review us, helping other people, other folks, find our show. Now, before we get to Stunned to a News, we have a poll question today. And baseball came back this weekend with teams playing other teams. They were exhibition games. We'll have the first game starting up on Thursday and Friday of this week, actual regular season games. But one thing that people have been noticing that we talked about months ago was that without fans in attendance, what happens to foul balls or home run balls. You know, we brought this up with Albert Pujols is sitting just a few away from 660, which would pass Willie Mays. Willie Mays' famous 660 all-time home runs. And some other notable home run balls could be just lost to history. Who do they go to? Where do they go? They bounce around the ballpark, and foul balls are the same thing, and nobody's there to collect them. Now, I don't know if there's anybody out there that would publicly grovel for the job of collecting foul balls. I'm not sure if there's anybody out there that would say be a former member of the media, the credentialed media, that would be tweeting at the local teams that he or his kids would want to collect the foul balls. Perhaps that's out there, but we're asking you, in the wake of that this morning on the poll question, should Major League Baseball hire a few fans to be let into the ballpark to collect the foul balls? Either vote yes, you should hire fans to collect them, or no, adults need a better hobby. So you can go to our poll question at CBS Sports Radio on Twitter at CBS Sports Radio, also on Facebook, facebook.com/TheDA Show. It strikes me that, you know what, this is a job for equipment managers. If we're actually allowing fans of the ballpark, it should be more than two or three that just run around the ballpark like a bunch of idiots, like a bunch of four-year-olds in the ball pit at Burger King. You should have, if you're going to have fans of the stands, there should be 2,000 fans of the stands. Then, you know, they can have their sections and they can run around if they want to or something like that. But I would say the idea of hiring, you know, one or two goobers to just run around the ballpark and collect 19 foul balls probably doesn't make any sense, Mraz.
Yeah, and I would just say this. I don't know where this poll is going to go. I don't know where the public is going to sway on this. But if you are one of these people that votes yes, they should allow fans in, and you want to be one of these fans, I would argue that you don't, and you never actually cared about the games as a sports fan. You only care about accumulating as much free trash to pile in your house as possible because, you know, nobody needs 19 foul balls when you come home from a baseball game. That's more of an addiction problem. So I think anybody voting yes here, look, I want to throw any shade. I think you have an addiction problem. I would question a lot whether you even cook at home. I would question a lot.
That's interesting you're tying those two together.
Well, because, you know, you're rushing to make sure the concessions are open and all of that other stuff. I would question whether you're somebody who needs to go to a food tasting event. I would even question if there's a new stadium being built in your area, if you're the type of person that needs to go take pictures of a fence around it. These are the kind of things I would expect. Fair. If you are somebody who votes yes here.
Interesting. Well, you know, there was some conversation on Twitter about what to do this weekend or over the weekend, what to do with the foul balls. Here's one tweet that I saw come across the Twitterverse. I would like to offer my services to the Yankees at the Yankees official account and at the Mets. Oh, this must be somebody in the New York City area.
Yeah, New Yorker.
To be on the game day staff to go pick up foul balls and home run balls. Staff. I mean, that has to be a job given the circumstances, right? It's interesting. Looks like the name of this tweeter is Peter Schwartz. Schwartz.
Thanks
from
listening.
The Czech Republic.
Yes, so Peter Schwartz apparently is looking to be part of the, quote, game day staff, and offering his services as such. Now, he looks to be balding and have some gray hair, so I think he is an adult. I mean, I think I would argue that he should have a better hobby here, but we'll just see how the poll question goes.
I hope his hip's in good shape.
I mean, just shameless. Just just absolutely, unbelievably crass and shameless that he is now at tweeting the actual teams saying, I'd like to offer my services. Dude, don't you have better things to do than be one of four goobers running around the ballpark to collect the foul balls?
As players were taking a pay cut, now they're going to hire more staff to collect foul balls.
Unreal. You couldn't make it up. I mean, I guess you could, but you almost couldn't. It's almost like almost like he is cultivating, crafting tweets with the direct knowledge that we will absolutely torch him for it. I would like to offer my services to be on the game day staff to pick up foul balls. I mean, that has to be a job given the circumstances, right? I wonder if it would still be an interest of his if they said, yeah, you can collect them, but you can't keep them. You have to deliver them back to this big bucket behind home plate. Would he still be interested in giving his services? Is he looking? Absolutely. And if they said it's free work as well, it's all volunteer.
Absolutely not. You don't have to pay him, but he needs to come home with the 19 balls and get his fix.
Yeah. There's no win there for him unless he actually gets to keep one of them.
Oh, this last 4 months has been free souvenir rehab for certain people in that family.
It's a disgrace. It really is shameless and a disgrace. Standing by with our headline this morning is our friend and dessert coordinator, Brad Heller. Brad, good morning.
Good morning, D.A. Patrick Mahomes, Drew Brees, Russell Wilson, and Aaron Donald, just some of the NFL stars to tweet their concerns about the health and safety protocols as training camps are scheduled to open this week. Today, actually, for Texans and Chiefs rookies, the tweets include the hashtag, we want to play. They were a coordinated effort by the Players Association. Brown Center and NFLPA President J.C. Treader tweeted, what you're seeing today is our guys standing up for each other and for the work their union leadership has done to keep everyone as safe as possible. The NFL needs to listen to our union and adopt the experts' recommendations. And it seems the league is listening to the union when it comes to preseason games. The players don't want to play any. The NFL has said they wanted to play two, but now NFL Network says that they're proposing just one preseason game for the union to discuss and decide on. Well, it's only exhibition games, but still real live baseball last night, which means we get to hear again from John Sterling.
There is the 1-1. Swung on and hit in the air to deep left. That ball is high. It is far. It is gone. A Stantonian home run. Oh, did he lose that to deep left? Wow. What a long home run. I hope we get the distance on that. Giancarlo, no si può scapparlo.
It was 440-something feet for sure on that Stanton home run, John Sterling.
Oh, and by the way, Stanton in midseason form hits a home run when the team's already up 5-0 in the seventh.
Aaron Judge did the dirty work. He had two, Gary Sanchez, Luke Voigt. They also went deep. 5 home runs in all for the Yankees. John Sterling, WFAN Yankees.
Giancarlo Stanton's going to hit like 7 home runs in these exhibition games that don't matter when his team is already up. And then the moment that the games actually matter, he's going to start freezing up there.
He'll take third strike with the bases loaded.
Thursday, I mark my words, Thursday night, he is 0 for 4 with 3 strikeouts. There is not a doubt in my mind that is the best first MLB bet you could place. How many hits does Stanton have over under 1.5? Take the way under on Thursday night.
I wish someone would explain it to me.
Do you think that Giancarlo Stanton is loving not having fans there because he doesn't have to worry about booing or pressure on him?
That's the only thing the Yankee Stadium isn't bumping in. They have everybody's walk-up music. They have the crowd noise. I haven't heard one boo when he whiffs yet. If you're going to do this, do it realistically.
Oh, Yankees beat the Mets, by the way, 6-0. Cody Bellinger, a grand slam. He had 5 RBIs. Dodgers routed the Diamondbacks 9-2. The Blue Jays, their first home game is a week from Wednesday. They still don't have a home yet. Their players want to play, preferably in a major league park. The team's considering Buffalo. The team's considering the spring training site. Although the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette says that PNC Park could be a possibility, the Pirates and the Blue Jays only overlap.
Now, my question is, would the Blue Jays perhaps consider, it's a little outside the box, Levittown Little League Fields? I know somebody that would be helpful in collecting your foul balls.
That's big.
He is willing to work for the cost of the low, low price of keeping one of those foul balls, and he will run your grounds crew.
And we know there's plenty of unhealthy food there for Vlad Guerrero Jr. to eat to have his big fat ass continue to grow.
One other note from golf, John Rahm now number 1 in the world. even though he shot a 3 over 75, he still won the Memorial 9 under par, a 3-shot win over Ryan Palmer. And now, woo-hoo!
It doesn't take much to surprise this bouncing baby boy.
This is honestly the most stunned I have ever been on the show to a news.
The DA show is stunned to a news.
Now, DA Mraz, I don't know if this has ever happened to you, but Marichka Padalko is a news anchor in Ukraine. She worked for the TSN channel in Ukraine.
Okay.
She was going along doing her newscast as usual when part of her tooth fell out. She caught it. She reacted so quickly. She caught it, put her hand to her mouth, caught it, and kept on going like nothing happened.
Oh, my.
Hockey player.
Wow.
She posted on Instagram a clip of it and a long post explaining it and said it was probably the most curious experience in her 20 years as a presenter. She said she first broke her tooth 10 years ago when her daughter accidentally hit her in the mouth with a heavy metal alarm clock.
Wow.
But you know what? So maybe she expected this might happen. She's had a lot of work done on the tooth. And literally, I don't know if you've seen the video, but she just reaches her hand up, grabs it, and just keeps on going.
This is often a nightmare for people. I don't know if you've ever had this, but a tooth falling out is a common nightmare. I've had this nightmare as well. And I've got really big teeth to fall out. But if you have tooth falling out, they say it is representative of a fear of death. So people have had this, you know, fear before in dreams, but the way she does it, she's just looking into the camera. She's doing a story. She feels the tooth clearly get loose and she just puts her hand up to her mouth and just quickly takes it out and continues to read. That's a pro's pro right there, Mraz, a real pro's pro.
It is incredible. It's kind of like an Odell Beckham catch he makes there. I'm actually picturing Paul Allen, as you just described that, going, and the tooth is loose down the sideline. But, yeah, I mean, look, she has a job to do, right? We all have jobs to do.
Yeah.
Just like that day that I broke the tip of my finger in the door, I tried to power through and do my job the best I could. She did this way more seamless. I don't know if I spit a tooth out in front of the microphone or anything like that, if I'd be able to grab it and not stop and go, oh my goodness, my tooth fell out. She continues on with the story. And frankly, what you're learning here is that Ukraine has some real professionals when it comes to reporting.
Heller, thank you very much for your stunt to a news service. Now, I would agree that what you're seeing here is a real gamer, a real... She's got the heart of a champion here, but I have to challenge you. If you smash your little pinky in the door and you were crying for the better part of the first hour of the show, I don't think you'd be able to seamlessly grab a tooth that fell out and not make a huge deal out of it.
Well, perhaps, but DA, you do have to realize the finger was a surprise. As Heller said in the story, the tooth seemed to be something she was prepared for. She was hit in the face with an alarm clock 10 years ago, and she felt it getting loose and wiggling. If you are bracing yourself for impact, just like if you fell flat on your face, I think you can handle it more gracefully. This didn't catch her by surprise. So if I knew a tooth was about to come out, I could feel it. Oh, it went out. I'm going to keep going, and I'm going to be professional. If it happened during Stunned News, I'd keep rolling.
I'm going to ask you this. With a six-month-old daughter at home, give me the scenario where your baby...
7 months today, by the way.
7 months, okay, very cool. Taylor hit 7 months today. Give me the scenario where your baby hits you in the face with a metal alarm clock.
Mike, the only thing I could envision is she gets to about 6-7 years old. Maybe she really is demanding cereal for dessert or something like that. I'm saying, no, we don't need dessert. You don't need dessert. And then picks up a baseball, throws it through a TV in their bedroom, forces me to have to buy a new TV. Then maybe, because I'm still saying no, takes an alarm clock and smashes me in the face. Other than that, I really can't. I will tell you this, though, and on a serious note, just yesterday, I thought my daughter was going to gouge my eyeball out to the point like I had to grab her very delicately, but that was all accidental. She dug her claws into my eye, and I thought I was losing an eye. I don't know that she'd have the strength to pick up an alarm clock that should be plugged in and smash my face with it.
Right. So either this child has massive anger and violent tendencies, if this child is taking a weapon and smashing you in the face because it's so angry over something. Or maybe it's a baby on a changing table, on a bed, on your bed or something, because I couldn't guess that there's a metal alarm clock next to the baby's bed. I don't know if the baby's got to get up for work in the morning. And you're like, coochie, coochie, coo, and it's on your bed. And then the baby just somehow grabs the metal alarm clock and happens to swing it at your face as your face is really close to his or hers.
Kids do grab everything. Like, when they learn how to grab, like, Taylor is grabbing everything she
Real
can
grabby.
Right now.
Yeah, grabby grabbersons.
Dia, she just started crawling. I kid you not, she came within a foot of trying to find an outlet. Like, she was pointing up, and I said, oh, boy, I was not prepared for this early. So I know if she's looking to grab stuff like that at 7 months, I don't know how old this person's kid was 10 years ago, but grabbing something at an accidental metal alarm clock swing is not out of the realm of possibility, I could just tell you.
Who's going to be the bigger headache in about 3 months? Is it going to be Taylor at 10 months, or is it going to be Eli?
It's hard. If it's not Eli, I have some extreme problems coming my way. Okay. Extreme. There's no doubt. But both of them as a tag team is a disaster right now, because now she is learning that he wants her food. She's tossing food down to him. But then they get mad at each other. She grabs his tail. He barks at her. Then he licks her in the face. It's a whole. They're a real problem together, and it's a bad dynamic duo.
It's what the Texans had envisioned when they drafted Jadeveon Clowney to bookend with J.J. Watt. It's two unblockable forces. What do you do? One or the other? You got to leave somebody open. Eli and Taylor, as she gets older, just unblockable duo.
You're the only time in my life I would ever expect that when Cheerios come out in the house, I will have no set. And O'Connor doesn't like them. It's going to go all to Taylor and Eli because she's going to be feeding the dog and not me. And that's going to be a real issue for me.
When we come back here on the show, where will the Blue Jays play? DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Too much fun with audio.
The kid can play. That's all I want to hear. I don't give a rat's rump. The kid can play. I don't give a rat's rump. The kid can play.
The DA Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Yes, those are the sounds of Merrill Hodge, what we think a rat might sound like, and his bouncing baby rump. Glad you're with us on a Monday morning here, everybody. As always, the DA Show is available on your phone. Stream us using the CBS Sports app, the radio.com app, or Apple Music, or watch us at watchda.com and look for the bouncing baby rat. Watchda.com on your phone. Join Michael Breed as he tees off on the top headlines of the world of golf. Watch Course Record with Michael Breed today at 11 Eastern, 8 Pacific, only on CBS Sports Network. And our toll-free line is 855-212-4227. Boink. Sponsored by Geico. Did you know that right now Geico is offering an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies? That's what's on top of what Geico already saves you. So what are you waiting for? Visit geico.com to learn more. Boing, 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 boing. Where will the Blue Jays play? That's the question. They will not be playing in Canada. Canada has very strict regulations for people coming in or people being there and people leaving. And so the idea of a bunch of American teams just flying into Toronto to play baseball games over the next couple of weeks, months, is not something Canada wants to take on. They have successfully limited the coronavirus. They have done a great job in making it much safer to be in Canada than it is to be here in the States. And so they just don't want anything messing that up. And hey, hard to blame Canada for putting their foot down and saying we got to be safe above everything else. The reason that hockey is going to work up there is because they are sequestered. They are quarantined there. They are in their bubble. They're going to play two sites, Edmonton and Toronto. And those two cities, NHL cities, all of the players will be staying there, not leaving, and doing kind of a bubble thing like the NBA and MLS is doing. So now the Blue Jays are without a home. Where do they play? They've got to figure this out by the 29th. That's when they have their first home game, a week from Wednesday. So there's a couple of options. Their AAA affiliate is in Buffalo, just across the American-Canadian border. They could play in Buffalo. They could also play at their spring training ballpark in Dunedin, Florida. Those are two options. Other options include other minor league ballparks like Charlotte, who has offered their services, and Charlotte's kind of always wanted a baseball team, a Major League Baseball team. So maybe this is a way, kind of like how San Antonio was the home of the New Orleans Saints because San Antonio was trying to bang the drum for their own NFL team. Charlotte, or some have said Durham, could be a site for them. But to me, none of those sites really make sense. You know, in Buffalo, one of the problems is that the lighting that they use for AAA games is not Major League Baseball standard. So they'd have to bring in ancillary lighting. And even though there's no fans in attendance, so you don't have to worry about the size of the ballpark, the facilities itself is not great in terms of the clubhouse. It's not a Major League Baseball clubhouse. So to me, retrofitting Buffalo, I mean, it's cool for the city of Buffalo, which is a great sports town, one of our best sports towns in America. It'd be cool to have the Blue Jays play in Buffalo, but you got to do a lot of work to a minor league baseball stadium. Playing at a spring training facility, again, it's fine for a month. Is it good for 3 months? I mean, it's a minor league ballpark. You're limited in what you can do there. To me, that doesn't make any sense either. Charlotte and Durham, it'd be cool to have a Major League Baseball team for them. But again, does it make sense to be at a minor league ballpark if you're not going to be at your own minor league ballpark? Another minor league ballpark presents the same problems. To me, the best sense here, the one that makes the most sense, is simply playing at another major league ballpark. And PNC Stadium, PNC Park in Pittsburgh has been one of the offerings that there's only 7 or some odd dates that they would cross over. So maybe you could schedule around that. And that basically you use another Major League Baseball park to do it. And to me, that makes the most sense. Look, Toronto to Pittsburgh is not that far. And if you're going to do this, do it at a place that's already churning and turning around Major League Baseball. You have your stadium facilities. You have your lights. You have your clubhouses. You know, we've had Pete Abraham, who covers the Red Sox, say that at Fenway, they're using the luxury suites as dressing areas. You've got your luxury suites. You've got your normal facilities and space to do it right. That's how it makes the most sense. And look, playing the Toronto Blue Jays home games in Pittsburgh sounds silly, but it's the best solution out of all of these. It just is. It provides the least resistance here. You just got to schedule around when the Pirates are playing. But picking a major league ballpark and hosting all the games, Mraz, to me, that's the easiest solution here than trying to retrofit everything else.
Right, and it should be noted, because of the way the schedule's worked out, it all has to be regionalized. So the majority of their games that they're going to have to travel to are New York for the Yankees, Mets, Boston, Philadelphia, Baltimore. We know all the cities. Pretty much the only time they have to go south is for the 2 Florida games or Atlanta. So, yeah, I think Pittsburgh fits that mold. It's a little weird that the Pirates, because of them playing in the NL Central, actually play all these Central teams. So you have a little cross between that ballpark and getting East teams and Central teams. But nonetheless, you need to get them, I think, preferably in the Northeast. The whole point of doing this is to limit the amount of travel anyway for Major League Baseball. And if that is the Major League ballpark out of all of these ballparks that might include their own division that only 7 dates they have to worry about, then to me, what are we doing here? That should be a slam dunk. Find the hotel for these players to stay in Pittsburgh. Let them treat Pittsburgh like a home city, and that's all there is to it. And maybe for those other 7 dates, if you could do a day-night thing, maybe if you don't want multiple teams in there, then they just play 7 extra road games. And honestly, you just make them the home team batting last anyway. It's not like you're worried about fans in there or anything like that anyway. To me, that makes the most sense.
Yeah, without fans being in attendance, you could really pick wherever you want to play that makes geographical sense. And pick any of these major league ballparks that might have, you know, openings or access or the ability to do it. Because all you're doing, as you said, is you're just trying to find a home ballpark that is close enough to all of the teams that they will play. And Pittsburgh, while it's in Pennsylvania and while they reside in the Central, as you said, it's a close enough flight to Philly, to D.C., to New York, to Boston. That's a very short flight. So it geographically makes sense, and it's a baseball stadium. I mean, I don't know how much home field advantage we're going to be dealing with anyway this baseball season. So why not put them in a professional Major League Baseball ballpark that's close enough to where they have to travel to? When we come back here on the show, Mark Davis says he won't be attending any of his Raiders games at his brand new stadium this year. Do we believe him?
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.